And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we will be discussing Bible prophecy, and especially Revelation chapter 17. In chapter 17 of prophecy, there is a tremendous word picture. And it describes a scene, straight out of hell. I've often wondered about this great mystery of the woman riding the beast. Let me read to you from Revelation 17, because I want you to begin our talk today, our understanding, with a knowledge of what God sees as happening in the last days. This is a revelation of things that are going to happen that I believe we're in the right in the process of these things occurring. I believe we're now traveling in the midst of incredible prophetic events. You know, sometimes when you're a little old like me and you look back and you say, wow, I didn't know that was going on. I didn't understand the significance of all the things that occurred. Now, some of you that are even older than me, you can remember back to World War II, then the Korean War, then the Vietnam War, and then of all these Persian Gulf conflicts and incidents, and all the various presidents. But more than that, when I was a little kid, we just had radios. We didn't even have a TV. We didn't have the internet. Didn't have all these modern conveniences, so-called. Listen to what it says here in chapter 17, and see if your mind is not stumped, if somehow there's a disconnect between what you see, which is symbolic, and what is real, what is happening. We begin really with chapter 17, verse 3, in which one of the angels came and took John. So he carried me away, says John, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Think about this. Think about the woman, this fantastic woman, the whore of Babylon. She sits upon a scarlet-colored beast, a red beast. He was a beast that had names of blasphemy, and he had 7 heads and 10 horns. Right away, we see the symbolic nature of this great beast. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. She also had red. She wore red, but also purple, the royal color. She was decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Imagine this fabulously beautiful, I guess you could call it sexy in today's terminology, I don't know what. But she was arrayed, she was dressed in purple and scarlet color. And she was decked, that means she had so many on her. Talk about what they call bling. Well, she had it, didn't she? Gold, precious stones, pearls. And she had a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. She was guilty of fornication. She was guilty of abominations. She was a filthy person, but she looked so alluring, so beautiful, so gorgeous. And she had this golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, and Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. She was the mother of all of the abominations of the earth. She was the mother of harlots, of all the whores and filthy, dirty women. And upon her forehead, yes, on her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon. The great Mystery Babylon, the great. The mother of harlots and abominations of the world. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. You can have admiration even for evil. You can be stunned at the sensation of evil, at the horrible seeming magnificence of evil. It doesn't mean that he loved it. It doesn't mean that he admired it and wanted to have it. But presented with such a one of fantastic evil, he was overwhelmed by it. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? Why are you marveling? Why are you looking with such an incredible nature in your mind? I will tell thee the story. I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. She was sitting on this red beast, and the angel told John, I will tell you about the woman. You don't have to marvel in mystery at her. You don't have to wonder in admiration that such a magnificent one would exist, and wonder how she got to have all these abominations and filthiness so that she was the mother of harlots. I will tell you about her and of the red beast, the scarlet-colored beast, which carries her. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th and is of the 7 and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now this woman rides the beast, and she's spread over 7 great mountains or continents. 7 continents. Some say these are just mountains of one city. And they point to the city of Rome, which has 7 hills or 7 mountains. But they forget that the city of Jerusalem also has 7 hills or 7 mountains. In any case, she sits upon these mighty waters, and they are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues or languages. The 7 continents, I believe. Nations. Not one nation, but nations and languages and many peoples and multitudes. The beast is the ruler of the world, and the woman rules with the power of the beast. She tells the beast where to go. She rides the beast. She says, go here, do this, do that, and he does it. But eventually will come a time when the beast refuses her orders. And then he will turn on the woman and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now, I've studied this verse very carefully, and I've gone back and studied the history of the United States of America and of Rome and of Jerusalem. And I am persuaded and I am convinced that what we have is the United States of America as the great beast, and we have Israel sitting on top. Yes, we have the Jews sitting on top saying, go here, do this, do that. But someday America will turn on Israel and say, we're sick and tired of following in your direction. And we will then eat her flesh. We'll kill her people. We'll burn her with fire. That is for a future day. But right now we have Israel as our dictator. It tells us what to do, where to go. The United States is the beast of Revelation 17. Why are we red colored? Because we're turning socialist. We're turning communist. We're moving into a new era in which our people have abandoned the great ship of destiny, which was the foundation of our country, the Constitution of the United States, the government of the 50 states, the president, the Supreme Court, the Congress, the Bill of Rights, the 10 amendments to the Constitution. All these are being thrown out. And the color red represents the great communist dynasty. In red China today, you see communism. In red Russia, the Soviet Union, you saw the great red empire. In Israel, the first so-called Jews, actually Khazars that came there in 1948, established themselves in Tel Aviv, and they resided in a building called the Red House. The Red House. Because they were communist. And our president today is giving us communism. Now, what about the United States as this great beast nation? This beast that conquers the whole world. These 10 horns. These nations that will do whatever the beast says to do. But in time, in at the same time, we ourselves have been conquered by the money and the power and the authority of the woman who rides the beast. Why? Because she's packed with gold and precious stones and pearls. Because she has the satanic mystery religion. She is indeed Mystery Babylon, and we do whatever Israel tells us to do. When a congressman, a judge, a senator, a governor, or the president of the United States refuse to do what Israel says, they die. They are assassinated, or they're forced to resign from office, or they're disgraced and their career is ended. It happened to John F. Kennedy. It happened to Richard Nixon, and it will happen to Barack Obama if he does not do what AIPAC and the ADL and the Jewish billionaires tell him to do. The United States is the global ruler of this world. It is the red beast. There's no doubt about it that it's the global ruler of the world. Do you doubt it at all? We ended up World War II. As the reigning power. Now, there were other competitors. There was the Soviet Union. There was Red China. And even today, those two nations attempt, Russia and China, to compete with us. But there's no parallel with this great nation. We have an economy next to none. And even though we now have some 30 million out of work, even though our economy limps along, there's nothing like it in all of this earth. Our stock market reigns supreme. The Dow Jones average is the one financial barometer that everyone pays attention to. Our Fed Reserve Board is the central bank for the whole world. And from it, we give billions of dollars to Europe, to China, to India, to Indonesia, Philippines, Japan, to the capitals of South America. All depend on the United States. It's been said that when America develops a cough or a sore throat, that the whole world comes down with a serious flu virus. If we simply cough or sneeze, the world comes down with a sickness. And that's true. The United States has shaped the entire world since World War II. We have made it into the vaunted New World Order that was spoken of by George Bush Sr. He said our goal is a new world order. Our goal is a fourth system. In the Bible, in the book of Daniel, it talks about the fourth great kingdom. The fourth great kingdom of the beast. We are the oil giant of the world. Make no mistake. For many years, we hid how much oil we had. It was more sensible for the huge oil combines, the Chevrons, the Exxon, the Mobils, the Texacos, Union Oil, and so forth, to hide our reserves and to lie to the American people about what the oil reserves were. Our presidents lied. President Nixon and President Carter both developed the Energy Department. The Energy Department, the Department of Energy, we had none before those presidents. It too lied. It keeps track of how much oil we have and how much we produce. America is not bent on producing oil. It's bent on conserving oil and keeping its oil and gas. We do not want to produce all the oil that we can. Why? Well, the price would drop. It's very simple. You know economics, don't you? The more of a resource you have, the less valuable it is. If everyone owns oil, then it's not a scarce resource. So, in the farming community, of course, America has so many riches that we have to buy farmers not to plant. We pay farmers thousands of dollars not to plant peanuts and other products. How is it possible that you could pay people not to plant wheat and cotton and other products, agricultural products? We pay people not to produce food. And we have a conspiracy with the oil companies not to produce oil. The Congress has been fighting for some 20 years about a small bit of acreage up in Alaska. And the fight is between the environmentalist and the non-environmentalist as to whether we should explore and put oil fields in those little bitty, that little acreage way up in North Alaska. Some said, we need the oil. We need to drill for oil because we're getting 50% of our gas and oil from the Middle East. We don't want to buy our oil from Qatar, from the United Arab Emirates, from Kuwait, from the Saudi Arabians. We want our own oil. Well, they were told that American oil companies we're running out of oil. In fact, we were told the whole world's running out of oil. We've already reached peak oil. It's peaked out. And now, from now on, we're going to go down, down, down. Oil will go up in price. $3, $4, $5, $7, $9, $10 a gallon. Now, suddenly, it was decided after George W. Bush gained office, he and Dick Cheney, they continued to hide how much oil and gas we had. But when Barack Obama came in, he began to let people know how much oil and gas we had. He was the first president, probably since, Richard Nixon, even before Richard Nixon, I think probably the first president in our lifetime, certainly, to ever reveal to the American people the vast amount of oil and gas we had. Now, I did a special report to you called Planet Petroleum about 3 or 4 years ago. And I told you in that report that America had more oil than any place on earth. And I told you about the Bakken oil formation up in the Dakotas, North and South Dakota, Montana. And not only there, but we have excess oil. I say excess. We have spare oil in Texas, in Oklahoma, in Colorado, in Utah, in California, in Pennsylvania, even in New Jersey and in New York State. I told you at that time we had so much oil in the Gulf of Mexico that we could never, ever use it. We had enough oil to last us over 1,000 years. I got a number of letters at the time that said, that's unbelievable. Tex, we're running out of oil. We don't have enough oil. Tex, 40 or 50% of our oil comes from overseas. But President Obama gave his State of the Union address. He said, good news, Americans. Our oil production's come up. Now we don't have to buy oil from overseas. We can produce our own oil. We're energy dependent. Independent, that is. Independent. How did that happen? Shouldn't we give Barack Obama some credit? He's been president for 5 years, and we've gone from being a peak oil country that goes like a beggar to the Arabians and to all the others in the Middle East, begging them for oil and gas. Now we've gone to producing enough oil that we can start selling it to other countries. Isn't that astonishing? Folks, right here in Sabine Pass, Texas, they're building a gigantic liquefaction plant. What are they liquefying? They're liquefying natural gas. Gas comes up out of the ground as a gas, and they're turning it into a liquid. Then they're putting it in big tankers, and they're shipping it overseas. We're now going to be selling liquid gas to Japan and to many other countries in the Pacific region. They now, in Japan, they pay China up to $10 for so many cubic feet of natural gas. $10. American companies say, we will sell it to you for $3. We've got so much. We've got more than we need. Guess what? We're producing so much oil and gas today, the oil and gas companies are beginning to lose money. Their executives are telling the workers, turn off the spigot. It's more than we can use and sell. Now they're trying to convince Barack Obama to build this new pipeline. What is it? The XL or I forget the name of Keystone pipeline. They're trying to build a pipeline and they built most of it all the way from Canada, where they've got gigantic stores of oil and gas up there. They're building this pipeline, the Keystone, all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico and Texas and Louisiana. And they're going to put the oil on tankers and ship it around the world. Well, it's not that we get the oil. It's that our big oil companies are selling it to foreigners. But why shouldn't we sell it? Why shouldn't we pipe it from Canada? Why shouldn't we pipe this oil from Texas, from Oklahoma, from California? Friends, I'm telling you, we have so much gas and oil. They're using a new process called fracking. And I know the environmentalists, they're jumping and screaming about it. But they jump and scream about everything, don't they? They've been warning you about global warming for how many years? Now we've had 15 straight years of global cooling. They're idiots. Of course they are. Why isn't somebody thanking Barack Obama? Saying thank you for waking us up. Thank you for producing more oil and gas than we can even use. And now we're having to build these liquefaction plants. That means thousands of new jobs to send this oil and gas overseas where we can sell it and American companies will make billions of dollars. The big oil companies are not drilling for oil in the United States as much as the small companies. Small companies are making billions of dollars from American gas and oil. Here in Texas, last year, in the year 2012, the Texas Railroad Commission, they're the ones that control the oil and gas, say that we have produced more oil in 2012 than we produced the previous 10 years combined. We produced more oil in 2012 than we ever have in history. Isn't that amazing? Folks, I mean, if you come to Austin, Texas, I can take you about 50 miles south of here and you'll see oil well after oil well going in. You'll see oil trucks. I mean, you can't even go down the highway for dodging all the oil trucks up and down, up and down. People are getting rich. I had a man that was, you know, very fortunate to make $10 an hour at his job. He saved up his money. And when this oil, production time began about 5 years ago, he used his money and he went down and bought a motel down in a little town called Gonzales, South Texas. Why would he buy? It was a rundown motel that out of 30 rooms, only two or three were used every night. Now all 30 rooms are used by oil workers. Oil workers have to sleep in their car, sleep in tents, anything they can. There's not enough housing there. And there's hundreds of thousands of oil workers working down there producing oil. Go up to North and South Dakota. Those are America's fastest growing states. We used to laugh about South Dakota when I was in the Air Force. When you get, you know, an assignment, they said, Air Force is going to send you to South Dakota. We'd say, oh my goodness, who wants to go to South Dakota? That was a terrible place. It's not anymore. It's a growing state. They don't have enough housing there. They don't have enough, restaurants, food stores. They need more and more and more. And truckers who are making $40,000 a year are going up there and driving a truck and making $150,000 a year. I'm trying to tell you something, folks. There's jobs to be had up there. The oil industry is creating hundreds of thousands of jobs in America. If it weren't for the oil industry, well, Barack Obama would be cooked. The economy would be cooked. But the oil industry has bailed Washington, D.C. out. And it's bailed America out. And now America's economy is booming, mainly because of the oil industry. Now, I'll be right back in just a moment. We're going to talk more about the United States of America, which is the global ruler of the world, the most powerful oil-rich nation on this planet. But it's got more than oil. It's got high tech. It's got a military. And we're plundering the world of their resources, too. We're doing it all for Israel. Our dictators, our bosses. I'll be right back. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Mysterious Monuments, over 600 pages, a large format book. I want you to have this book, folks, for $35. Please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $40. I want to send you this outstanding book, Mysterious Monuments. It's over 600 pages, hundreds and hundreds of photographs, and you will see what the Illuminati elite have done to the architecture of this world. You will see the buildings with gods and goddesses and devils. Across the United States, you will see that Washington, D.C. has been built as a mysterious Illuminati city. And across America, we have strange monuments. Now, you're not going to find this in some architecture class in college. You're not going to find any other book like Mysterious Monuments. You'll discover that prophecy is foretold in buildings, because the Satanists who control the world behind the scenes are, in fact, the builders. They're the builders. But they're building a universe of architecture that is far different than we have been led to believe. You must have your copy of this incredible book, Mysterious Monuments, by Tex Mars, for $40. That includes shipping and handling. You can get Mysterious Monuments by phoning us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-9673. You can also go to our website. That's powerofprophecy.com, or simply texmars.com and discover what Mysterious Monuments is all about. Or you can phone us toll-free during the work week, and a friendly receptionist will take the information from you, and we'll send you this book right on out. We got plenty of copies of it. Mysterious Monuments by Tex Mars. Now, as I've told you, this is the one and only book that's ever been published on this subject. And it's an astonishing book. It's astonishing. This is a magnificent book that's about 2 inches thick. It's as big as an encyclopedia. And you'll spend many, many nights and days studying the incredible information in this book. Mysterious Monuments. Our phone number here is 1-800-234-9673. Call us, won't you? Use your charge card. And when you do, remember, we will extend your subscription to our monthly newsletter, Power of Prophecy, for 6 months. We will extend it free of charge. Again, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, or finally, our website, powerofprophecy.com. And now let's return to our regular program. We're looking at Bible prophecy today. Revelation 17 talks about a great red beast, and he rules an empire that encompasses the whole earth. I believe that empire is the United States of America. And we are, in fact, the global ruler of the world. We've got an industry second to none. Our manufacturing is not only the manifest by the fact that we build things ourselves, but we license dozens of other nations. The iPhone, General Electric products, all of the Apple products are all built in Red China. You'll find that India and Indonesia and other countries make everything from blue jeans to auto parts to furniture. But it's American ingenuity and ideas. Of course, go back and you can study what Americans have done through our ingenuity and our entrepreneurship, our mind power, so to speak. The Wright brothers with the airplane, Henry Ford with the automobile and the assembly plants. We, of course, had our space program, and we're the first to discover all of the various planets, and supposedly we landed on Mars with our NASA. And now we've come out with the cell phones that can talk to you, give you instructions. We have talking automobiles. And now we have robots. Yes, robots that are amazing. And people are talking about transhumanism. That is downloading the human brain into a robot or a cyborg body. So people can live forever. Is that what God intended? Obviously not. We'll see what God has to say about that. But right now, America claims to be the scientific center of the world. Our high technology is centered in Austin, Texas, in Dallas, Texas, in Silicon Valley, that's San Jose, California, in Los Angeles, and of course in Boston, Massachusetts, in Research Triangle, North Carolina, and many other areas. We are the number one high-tech manufacturing center in the world. Every other national economy depends on the United States, and our Federal Reserve is the Federal Reserve Bank for the entire world. You know, recently under Senator Dodd and Congressman Barney Frank, a bill was passed in Congress to cause the Fed Reserve Board for the first time to receive an audit. Now, people like Ron Paul have been arguing for years that the Fed should be audited. Well, it was audited. I have a copy of that audit. It was a one-timer. It was a one-offer. It's the only time the Fed will ever be audited. Why were they audited? Because of so many questions and so many complaints and because of the Great Recession that we were involved in. And I got that audit report of the Fed Reserve, and I read it with a fine-tooth comb. And I was shocked to discover that the Fed Reserve of the United States of America is the Fed Reserve of the whole world. The other banks of the world are connected to the Fed, but it tells them what to do. And more than that, it pumps dollars, billions of dollars, into the banks of the world. HSBC Bank in China, the Bank of China, Nomura Bank and Securities in Japan, the First Bank of Japan. Here in America, we have J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. We have Bank of America. We have all kinds of banks and financial institutions in the United States. Citicorp, the largest financial corporation in the world, Citibank, that is. And we have over in, we have Royal Dutch, Deutsche Bank, and the Dresdner Bank in Germany. And in every country of earth, there are banks that are funded by our bank. And I realized that if we had not given all these billions of dollars to these banks, the world was on the edge of bankruptcy in 2008. And our central bank went to the rescue. And we pumped out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. How do we do that? We just print it. Our Fed Reserve Bank decides to print money and give it to others. And often we give it to these other banks at 0% interest. Now, how would you like to get, oh, say, $300 billion from the Fed Reserve Bank at 0% interest? Well, what a deal that is, huh? What a deal that is. I mean, every entrepreneur in America would like to borrow money and pay no interest on it. So you borrow $100 million and you give it back, you know, in 4 or 5 years. I mean, anybody would love that. That's what the Fed Reserve has been doing. And it's not only the big banks that are getting all this, these printed dollars. Now, they don't really print the money. Let me explain this. It's just put on the books. It's a computer transaction. It's a financial blizzard of thousands of transactions crisscrossing across this planet in cyberspace. Think about that. When some gigantic bank was about to go out of business because they were short billions, they told the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve would just print them out money. Okay, Bank of America, you need $50 billion. Here it is. You got to pay it back to us without any interest. Okay, J.P. Morgan Chase, You need 200 million? Here it is. You need 5 billion? Okay, here it is. And then to top it all off, the audit shows that the Fed Reserve began to give billions of dollars to corporations, successful corporations. Do you remember Ford bragged to everybody, we didn't have to take any TARP money. The Congress of the United States had to lend money to General Motors. General Motors went bankrupt, not Ford. We stayed in business. We're such a better manager. They're a bunch of filthy liars. They also needed money, and it was given to them by the Fed Reserve. The Fed Reserve kept Ford going, but they hid it from the American people. There was something to do with General Motors there. They wanted to capture General Motors. General Motors was the picture of the whole world's economy. General Motors automobiles. Now, you can say what you want to. The Cadillac, the Chevrolet, the Oldsmobile, which they discontinued, the Buick. They were hurting for money, blah, blah, blah. Whatever you want to say bad about General Motors, I'm just trying to tell you that the whole world thinks of General Motors as the United States. And the government took General Motors by the hand and gave them billions of dollars to TARP money, and then the Fed gave them additional billions, and now they're prospering once again. But Ford itself also took money. McDonald's took money. The hamburger chain. They've never had a McDonald's store, I understand, and the whole world has lost money. But they were given billions. Ford, General Motors, McDonald's, National Cash Register. All these big corporations were given billions of dollars by the Fed. They were the banker for the whole world. And they didn't charge any interest. Meanwhile, thousands of local mom-and-pop groups were going out of business. They couldn't get any money from their bank. We want to see your collateral. You've got to show us what you can do. So mom-and-pop corporations and little stores and such went out of business. But Walmart and all the big boys stayed there, Kohl's, Penny's, Target, and so forth. The Fed made sure they were all funded. And we have come out on top. Just last month, Germany announced that they had a 2.5% drop in their retail sales. But America's retail sales were in the plus region. We're prospering, folks. Now, I know the economy is not booming, and we're restructuring now. That's the only thing I can say about it. We're restructuring. We're going into an age of robotics and automation. I read in the local Austin newspaper here that the Emerson company, you know them as the maker of fans, right? Emerson fans, Emerson radio. Well, now they're making equipment that makes other equipment. Now they're making automation and robots. And they open up an automation and robotics center here in Round Rock, Texas. So we have high-tech manufacturing superiority. We have oil and gas. We have robots and automation. We're the number one robot country in the world. And what corporations don't make with robots, we hire our government to do so. DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, is spending billions of dollars to build new robots. What are those robots going to do? They're going to take your job. Recently, in the Mail newspaper over in Great Britain, there was a headline of the newspaper, a headline. It says, is 2014 the year your job will be taken by a robot? Jobocalypse, that's the word they coined. Jobocalypse is set to strike as droids are trained to flip burgers, pour drinks, and even look after our children. There's about a 20-page article here, an incredible article, talking about all of the new robots. Most of them American, but some Japanese and European. They say that scientists are predicting a jobocalypse as robots take over manual jobs. 70% of occupations will become automated in the coming decades. Drivers, teachers, babysitters, nurses will be replaced by robots. You thought you had a good job as a nurse, as a nanny, as a teacher? You think they're always going to need drivers? No. They're experimenting now with driverless cars. And experts are predicting a jobocalypse. What does that mean, a jobocalypse? Apocalypse. It means everyone's going to be put out of work. We're reaching an age of singularity. That's the time when robots are equal to human beings in their dexterity, in their ability, in their thinking powers. We now have robots that can do labor, can accomplish tasks that humans cannot even do. Firefighters, policemen, and so forth. Even in the military. You know, the U.S. Army recently announced that they're going to be using robots. They say we now have only 530,000 men and women in uniform. We're going to drop from 530 down to 490 soon. And then we're going to go from 490 to 460. Then we're going to go to 410 and then 300. And within 15 years, we will only have about one fourth of the troops that we have. Robots will do the jobs. Robots. Robots will go on the battlefield and will do the killing. Amazingly, many robots will go out and eat the bodies of the people they've just killed. There's a robot that's been developed by the Army to do exactly that. It's called the Eater Robot. Tell me the United States is not the global beast of the world. We're developing eater robots to eat the dead bodies of the humans that the robots kill. Now, Amnesty International and other groups are warning about robots that can think for themselves. How about the drones? They say the drones will be given brains and they will be able to kill people without any permission from human beings. They'll be able to look below, see what's happening, and kill by their own authorization. Sounds fantastic, doesn't it? But it's true. And then there's the spies. I mentioned the drones. The National Security Agency is developing a new spy center in Utah. There will be tens of thousands of workers there. And they're now listening to every phone call that's made, every email that's sent. And they're calculating and they're listening. And they create lists of terrorist suspects. And they go out and investigate these suspects, of whom you and I are probably on that list. And they're watching us more. And they can control your automobile. Believe me, they can stop your automobile long distance. Just stop it right in the middle of the road. It won't run anymore. It won't operate. It just goes dead on you. They can also cause your automobile to go crazy, to go wild. They know where it's going. You don't. It's brakes. It's gas pedal. It's wheel. Doesn't take you where you want to go. It takes you where they want to go, right to a big tree or a big brick wall, and you're dead. You say that hasn't happened. Oh, yes, it has. We don't know how often it's happened. But we have had instances. Reporters that were writing whistleblowing on the government suddenly turned up dead. Their cars took off with them sitting there helpless. Doesn't it remind you a little bit about what happened at 9/11? The Arab terrorist who could not fly those aircraft. The aircraft took off and went wherever they wanted to go. 9/11. Little black boxes were put on the aircraft and they did whatever they were told to do from long distance. The National Security Agency, though, all of the spy information that it acquires goes to Israel first. Ah, how can that be? Think about it. That has come out. There are two companies, Israeli companies, that process all of the raw data from the National Security Agency first, before it's... Think of that. Israel knows everything that's happening to everybody, and they can blackmail every congressman, every policeman, every judge. Israel has that power now. They also have the power of the bank, of the dollar bills. The Fed Reserve is an Israeli institution. Now, a lot of people did not believe Eustace Mullins when he wrote his book. How long has it been? 40, 50 years ago now? He wrote the book, Secrets of the Fed Reserve. Eustace Mullins. It exposed the fact that the Fed Reserve was begun by Jews and continues by Jews, is run by them. And it is the central bank of the whole world. It has the money power. It causes depressions when it withdraws money from the culture. When it puts money into the culture, as is today, it causes the economy to heat up. You can cause recessions, depressions. You can cause small economic blips or gigantic bumps. And who is running the Fed Reserve? Well, now let's see. Oh, some years ago we had Alan Greenspan. Do you remember him? Chairman of the Fed Reserve. He just happened to be a Jew. Well, now he was replaced by another Jew, Ben Bernanke. But he just resigned and he's been replaced by another Jew, Janet Yellen. And her second in command, the vice chairman, is a man named Richard Fisher, who is also Jewish. It turns out that the Fed Reserve is still run by Jews. It was founded by Jews in the days of Woodrow Wilson, and it continues to be run by Jews. And it is owned by banks. The shares are owned by banks. It is not owned by the U.S. government, but by banks. That's why it gives all the money to banks. Keeps them in business. Keeps them prospering. That's why it controls our money supply. Look at your bills. Look at the $1 bill. Does it say U.S. Treasury note? No. It's a Federal Reserve note. No money can be printed by the U.S. Treasury without authorization of the Federal Reserve. Now, who is Janet Yellen? Who is Martin Fisher? I told you they're Jews. Martin Fisher, what did he do? Why is he so distinguished to become the vice chairman? And people say he will probably be the next chairman. Well, Fisher, for 9 years, was head of the Bank of Israel in Tel Aviv. He is a dual citizen. He was not even born in America. He was born in Zambia to rich Israeli parents, Jewish parents. He's a Zambian Jew. But he was made a citizen by Israel. And he's been given citizenship by the United States. So he's a triple citizen, isn't he? Of Zambia and Africa, of Israel and the United States. But what is a man who is head of the central bank of Israel, the Israel Bank, what's he doing at the Fed Reserve in Washington, D.C.? That's incredible. How can we have an Israeli as head of our bank? Who appoints these people? Well, it's Barack Obama. That's why you have to be very careful before you make the claim that Barack Obama is an independent president. He was placed into office by Jews. I show that in my video, Rothschild's Choice. You must get Rothschild's Choice. You can order it here from the ministry, and you'll see where he came up from. He was supported by the Jews of Chicago. And, well, that's to whom he owes his job. Now, who's going to be the next president of the Beast Nation? Many people say Hillary Rodham Clinton. Time magazine had Hillary on the cover this last week. Actually, just had her leg on the cover. And, I won't go any more into that, but says in there, Hillary is the queen. She could be the next president. She's the most popular woman in America. Popular man, too. Who knows whether she's man or woman. The lesbians say she's one of theirs. But Jeb Bush wants to be president. Jeb Bush. He would be the third Bush president. Maybe the Jews don't want Hillary. Maybe they're going to give us the appearance of change. Americans are tired of the Democrats, and in 3 years we'll be really tired of them. It'll really be bad. Don't worry about it. They'll give us a Bush. We go from Clinton to Bush to, I guess, Obama in between there somewhere. Jeb Bush wants to be president. Now we also have Senator Cruz, Senator Rand Paul. We have Governor Rick Perry. We have rich boy Paul Ryan, who ran for vice president. And we have the big man, Chris Christie, up in New Jersey. But these are sideshows. They say Romney may run again. He'd probably be a sideshow. Sarah Palin, Gingrich, Santorum. Biden may run on the Democrat ticket. Sideshow. Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago. He says he may run. That's sideshow. Readying America for 2016, Jeb Bush says, I want to be president. Is he liberal? You betcha. He is. Now, who runs America? We have the top colleges and universities. All the world sends its citizens to come and be educated in America's colleges and universities. We have robots and automation, high-tech superiority, oil and gas. We're the spies for the whole world with our NSA and military systems. We're the world's policemen. We get involved in every nation on earth. And we've conquered many. Suppressing, controlling others. Now we're going in and becoming a socialist nation with Obamacare. We're becoming the North American Union. We have a welfare nation. 20% are on food stamps. That's 1 out of 5. And 51%, over 50% of the people are supported by government. I recently had a report on my website called Why Work? A woman called in. She said, I have never worked in my whole life. I've got 3 kids. Why should I work? I'm getting all these goodies from the government. And the question really is, why should she work? Maybe because it's the right thing to do. Maybe because without work, you don't have any human value. Maybe she has no human value. Maybe she doesn't want it. Revelation 17. We have become the global ruler of the world. What will it get us? We'll become a beast. We make war. We kill. We plunder. We take. Are you any happier, my friends? Are we any more content? Are we any more safe than we were 20 or 30 or 40 years ago? Does it really pay? Does it pay your heart? Do you get any eternal security or satisfaction by being one of the rulers of the world? Or does it cause you great pain? Does it give you worry? Do you lose sleep at night? Talk to Jesus about it. He has the answer. Become a citizen of heaven. Heavenly Jerusalem. Escape this earth. That's the way to security. That's the pathway to happiness. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to a special program today about the United States of America, the global ruler of the world in Revelation 17 beast. But there is a better way. There's a better nation. And my prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.